It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's say hi to Michael Brunts with 24/7 Sports, Husker 24/7, at Michael Brunts on Twitter. True or false, you're out back on the patio with the unicorn swimming pool.
Yeah, the unicorn pool has not been deployed today. It might be getting close to unicorn time though. So I'll put out a unicorn warning when it's time.
Do we need a unicorn warning for Jackson Brockett tonight?
Well, I mean, if you follow up the first no-hitter and individual no-hitter in 70 years with another one, I suppose that probably deserves a unicorn warning. We'll see if he can do it. I probably wouldn't bet on it, but hey, why not? Baseball is a weird game, right?
It is, but we'll start with some baseball and thoughts tonight with the Big Red. And I know midweeks have been a problem for them, but they've not been a problem for them against non-Power Fives, as they hate to be called.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different from last year. I mean, Nebraska actually started off pretty well in the midweeks and then kind of hit, basically started the Creighton series, and that's when things really got kind of dicey. They really struggled against Creighton and Kansas, but you've got Jackson Brockett on the hill again tonight against South Dakota State. He's, you know, basically after kind of getting off the milk carton last week with the no-hitter, he's got a chance to back it up a little bit, and it's an important start because, you know, you guys know Nebraska has kind of struggled somewhat on Sundays. They've obviously struggled in the midweeks, and they've got this need for either somebody that can get them off to a good start on Sundays or somebody who can come in and give you a few innings of relief on Sundays if you need it, and that's a role that I think Brockett at his best can fill, and he's going to get another chance to kind of cement that role. And it's an important one too with, you know, with Big Ten tournament play coming up, you really have to lean on everybody you have on the staff, and, you know, having somebody pitching well like Brockett would do wonders for the staff in terms of just improving depth there.
Yeah. If Jackson Brockett can stack another good performance tonight, it doesn't have to be a no hitter, obviously, but another good performance, what does that mean, in your opinion, for Nebraska's postseason hopes? How does that change things if Nebraska does have a guy in Jackson Brockett that's feeling confident and playing his best baseball?
It would be big. I mean, you know, there's still work to do for Nebraska over these last two weekends. You know, Sundays have been an issue, and that's where having somebody that can give you multiple innings is incredibly helpful in relief if you need it. Or even, you know, maybe he takes that starting job from Will Walsh, who knows? But as you kind of get into, you know, Big Ten tournament play, where you have to lean on everybody. You're going to have guys make starts that, you know, maybe weren't normally your best three guys out there. And, you know, Brockett's been throwing well of late. You've seen more of Caleb Clark, who is another guy that kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, but has put it together a little bit. And, you know, those types of arms are really valuable in tournament play because sometimes you just need guys to eat innings and you need to give your offense a chance. And you know, if those guys, those two in particular, Clark and Brockett on the left-hand side, if they can do that, that's huge.
Brunsy, what's frightening about Indiana as we look to this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they're a team, I believe, RPI-wise, in the 60s or 70s, somewhere in there. And they've got dudes. I mean, they're a 41 team last year. They've got good arms. They always, even going back to, you know, when Kyle Schwarber was playing for Indiana, they just had guys they could hit. And, you know, that always just kind of makes them a dangerous team. And if you kind of go back in the history between these two teams since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten, they've always been competitive games. They've always you hesitate to call it a rivalry, but it's kind of had that type of back and forth to it. So it's going to be a tough one. And you know, kind of the last two weekends with the Big Ten schedule, the way that they shook out, I don't know if they intended to do this or just, you know, by some stroke of luck. But basically everybody in the top six in the conference standings right now plays each other over the final two weekends. So there's a ton of drama left. If you struggle on a weekend, I mean, you can go from being second place in the conference down to fourth or fifth if you're not focused. So that's the challenge ahead for Nebraska and making sure that they kind of continue to stack up the weekend wins like they have so far this season.
Do you think that a Big Ten regular season title will be enough for Nebraska to potentially host a regional? Based on my own eye test, I look at some other teams in college baseball in America and I say, man, I'm not sure Nebraska deserves to host a regional. But then you look at the RPI and the schedule and Nebraska's body of work and you say, oh, okay, maybe coming out of the Big Ten, it could be possible. Is the Big Ten regular season title what is needed?
It would help. I also think you'd have to make a pretty deep run in the tournament. I mean, if you just kind of look at where things stack up right now for Nebraska, I mean, let's say you just finish out. Let's say you win the last two series and you go into the tournament pretty strong. I mean, I still think you're going to be challenged to get into that top 16 RPI conversation. There's not much ground to be made up for Nebraska out there right now RPI wise. Which, I mean, that's kind of the rub is you play so well early in the season and then you really have to thread the needle pretty well during Big Ten play just because there aren't a lot of other high RPI type teams. And this is where, you know, beating Creighton in the midweeks would help you a little bit. But I think they're going to be challenged to host unless they really go on a run here and win a lot of games. I mean, they're at the 30 win mark right now. I think you'd probably have to get to 40 somehow by the end of the Big Ten tournament to even kind of be in that conversation, because I think there's a strong chance that they probably finish probably somewhere in like the low 20s, which would be good enough for a really strong number two seed somewhere. I just think it's such a challenge for Big Ten teams to get into that hosting conversation. I mean, Nebraska's done pretty well for itself to be in that conversation still at this point in the season, to be honest.
Michael Bruntz with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Michael Bruntz, of course, with Nebraska 24/7. And follow Bruntzy on Twitter at Michael Bruntz. Some football thoughts. What's your assessment of Nebraska's recruiting prowess here this spring and as they look to get heavy into camp time this summer? How do you think the recruiting trail's been for Nebraska? I know big weekend for visitors.
Yeah, right now, you know, Nebraska's kind of in the evaluation part of things. You know, they've kind of taken the approach that they're going to go out in groups of assistant coaches. You saw 10 assistants at Millard South to see Chase Lofton. There were 10 assistants at Omaha Westside to see Christian Jones. Those are two of the top guys left on their board, and obviously both in-state guys. So Nebraska's trying to lock up the borders there. You know, for official visitors, it's going to be a little bit quiet in May. You've got a couple slated to come in this weekend. Broderick Scholl out of Oklahoma, the big offensive tackle being another one. This is going to be his second visit to Nebraska within a month. So that was a good one for Nebraska to get a return trip from him. But, you know, things really kind of start heating up once you hit June 1st. That's when camp season starts rolling. You've got a ton of guys that have set up official visits for June. It's going to be an extremely busy month as they kind of get to that dead period in July. So, you know, the things that I look for over the next month or so, obviously the official visit piece of it, I think the staff is always going to try to mine those camps for any under-the-radar guys, any guys that are, you know, if somebody shows up and runs a 4.4, Nebraska's going to be very interested in kind of what that looks like long term. So it's an important time. And even, you know, you saw the camp that they had last year with JUCOs and post-grads. It got them James Williams, who was, you know, really good for Nebraska last year as a situational pass rusher. So there's a ton left before they kind of get to that summer break, and a lot of work to do there.
Michael, do you subscribe to the notion that you can't truly start building your class and finishing it out until you have that quarterback in the boat? And I ask that with a lot of news out there about TJ Lateef maybe being a Nebraska lean as it currently stands. Do you subscribe to that notion, though?
I think it helps. I mean, I think naturally you kind of have, you know, when you have a quarterback in the class, you kind of have that one guy that, you know, players can kind of coalesce around in that class. You know, sometimes that guy personality wise, maybe doesn't want that role, but I think anytime you have that kind of set up, it does help your efforts a little bit more. Cause you can go to skill position players and say, hey, this is the guy, who's going to be throwing you passes at some point. I think, you know, the other thing that I think has kind of helped the recruiting efforts, frankly, is Dylan Raiola. You know, just having him there, I think that's caught a lot of attention. I think a lot of guys are pretty excited about that. But, you know, in terms of Latisse, you know, if Nebraska is able to get him in the boat, I mean, I think that kind of allows you to peer recruit a little bit more easily. It also gives you a little bit of a foothold in Southern California, which is not a place that Nebraska's had in the last few recruiting classes, and a guy that's pretty well connected at a powerhouse program in Orange Lutheran. So that would be a big get. And, you know, he's still been quiet, you know, hasn't been returning calls, and that's usually sometimes an indication of somebody getting towards the end of their decision-making process. So we'll see if anything happens with that over the next few weeks here.
Michael Bruntz with us here on Hail Varsity, at Michael Bruntz on Twitter. Yeah, senior writer, of course, with Husker 24/7 at Nebraska 24/7. Can read him and BC and Chafe. Would you have been man enough as we say goodbye to cut off Ric Flair at a bar?
To cut him off?
To cut him off. That happened. It's on social media, and the Nature Boy does not look in prime form.
Like present day Ric Flair is what you're saying.
Yes.
I think it's almost kind of at a point, a little bit of sadness at this point, right? I mean, like peak 1980s Ric Flair, there's no way you're cutting him off by any means. But you kind of got to now, I think. It just from watching the documentaries and stuff, it's kind of sad to watch the way that things have kind of gone that way there.
But on the flip side of things, if a 75-plus-year-old man beats you up, there might not be any coming back from that.
He doesn't care if they're a steel chair or not, Bruntzy, what Elijah's saying.
Yeah, no, I get it. I see what you're saying. I don't know, though. You saw some of those thunderous chops he used to deliver back in the day, the big chest slaps. I bet he could probably still wind up and give you one nowadays if he wanted to.
I'll pass, but that's food for thought.
I will say, among the debilitating shots I think of, a chest slap is not near the top of my list.
They were loud.
Oh, I know.
They were so good.
They were bad.
The old style it and profile and Michael Bruntz. Bruntzy, thanks for the time today.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Good to hear from Bruntzy as Moonbot 7 checks in, clarifying our ongoing Wade Boggs discussion. Always Sunny said 50 beers, not 102.